You're listening to Out of Bounds with Daily Bruins Sports here on UCLAradio.com. Daily Bruins Sports is your ultimate source for UCLA athletics, and Out of Bounds provides you with an in-depth look at the UCLA sports scene like nobody else can. Here are your hosts, Andrew Erickson and Kevin Bowman.
Good evening, evening everyone, and welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds with Daily Bruins Sports here on UCLAradio.com. I am Daily Bruins Sports Senior Staffer Andrew Erickson.
And I am Daily Bruins Sports Editor Kevin Bowman. I almost forgot my job for a second.
I would like to forget my job right now, which is to study for this business law midterm I have coming up for tomorrow. You can see some clear sleep lines that are forming.
You've aged like 50 years in the past
day.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm really struggling with that, so... Anybody, if you have some 5-hour energy you could spare me, that would be fantastic. 8,333% of the vitamin B12 you should get in a day, which I don't know what vitamin B12 does exactly, but I don't think that number is good for anything.
So, 8,000? No.
Yeah, I don't think so. So maybe I should refrain from using that. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. In this week's show, we'll be talking about the week that was in UCLA sports, the men's basketball team's win over USC, National Signing Day, and we will also talk about the upcoming home basketball series against Colorado and Utah, with the Bruins trying to avenge that last loss against the Utes in Salt Lake City. But first, you know, let's get into a subject that has been a favorite of mine recently because it's been so successful, and that is You Better Be Right, where Kevin is quickly becoming a sorry excuse for a competitor.
In my defense, I won like the first 10.
That's not true at all. So I encourage our listeners to go back and go back through the archives and see, you know, what the actual result is. I don't think you ever have had a win streak of any sort.
I'm pretty sure I did because I always felt bad that I like chose first.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. So Kevin so ignorantly said that UCLA would go 3-0 over its last stretch of games on the road. But the Bruins, of course, did not, dropping that 71-67 decision in Corvallis. And I said they would go 2-1, and I was correct. So, Kevin, if you will go on his Twitter, at KBO123, you will see a photo of Bad Luck Brian, who is a great meme out there. And it talks about Kevin's, misfortune, I guess, with picking the 49ers bandwagon because it's a team that just can't get it done in the last 3 years. So... I think it's a step up from the last Twitter picture I made him use, and you know it's quickly, you know, I think it's a positive thing for you because it reflects positively on your sense of humor, so all your Twitter followers can see
that. I'm
yeah.
I mean, in my defense, I'm saying that a lot. I also bandwagon for the Seahawks who won.
You sound like Steve Alford, man.
Shots fired. Okay, moving on.
Now we'll go into the world famous Westwood Weekend Review, another accomplishment of Kevin's, including choosing bandwagons. Men's tennis had their competition canceled after several rain delays in Palo Alto. You shortchanged me on that one. I didn't even get to read a result.
Trying to be thorough. All right, men's volleyball bounced back from a loss to Pepperdine by sweeping USC on Sunday. So that happened too.
There was no rain for women's tennis, but unfortunately they fell short of winning the ITA National Women's Team Indoor Championship, losing to Duke 4-3 in the tournament final. So maybe they would have liked some rain. I don't know. Would that have helped?
I'm not sure. Softball opened its season with a tournament win at the Oceanic Time Warner Cable Paradise Classic.
Not to be confused with the regular Time Warner Cable Classic.
It's like the longest tournament name ever. They defeated Hawaii 4-1 in the final game, and they won other games too, which are too many to list. And an interesting part of it, Ali Carta opened the season by throwing a no-hitter in the first game. So that's
cool. Who was that against?
Delaware, I think.
Okay.
But apparently that's the sixth time that's been done by a UCLA pitcher, so it's not like...
They've done it a number of times. I think
six no-hitters in the opening
game. In softball,
game.
If you have a dominating pitcher, and pitchers throw just about every game. I mean, they throw most every game. So if you're a dominating pitcher, it seems like something you could accomplish every now and again.
Yeah.
And Delaware was on the short end of that one. Gymnastics defeated Arizona State 196.925 to 194.950. That means absolutely nothing to me. I think that's a big margin.
I think so.
Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of tenths involved. So if you have like 25 of those, it seems like it'd be quite a bit. After Samantha Pejic earned a perfect 10 on the uneven bars.
Both men's and women's track and field teams finished fifth at the Texas A&M Aggie Invitational.
Texas A&M is a running, like a sprints powerhouse, if I'm not mistaken, right? them and like
I have no clue.
LSU, and there are a few LSU Southern schools that are actually pretty good.
I'm not sure about Texas.
Florida State, I know, is actually very good.
Yes.
I had a cousin who ran there, actually. Oh. Yeah. Women's basketball struggled against USC, losing 68-54 on Sunday at the Galen Center.
And men's golf, they finished tied for 7th at the Amerari. I don't know.
They play in that every year.
Amerari Invitational, shooting 837 and 27 shots under par.
Wow. Easy course. It's like playing putt-putt.
Yeah.
men's basketball followed its first half struggles with a strong second half, beating USC 83-73 after the conclusion of the women's game at the Galen Center on Sunday night. But first, I guess, you know, we'll get back into that game later, but first we'll talk about National Signing Day. So UCLA signed a total of 18 freshman recruits, and then they also got Mossy Johnson, who's technically lumped in with that bunch, but he used a gray shirt from last season, as well as Malcolm Bunch, the Bunch Hall, we were going to call him. I think that's a great feature head. I think we should take advantage of that at some point.
Definitely.
Who is a transfer from Miami and was actually projected as a third or fourth round pick coming out this year, but wanted to play another year of football. And if you're losing a guy like Xavier Suafilo, you know, what a great thing to get a guy like that can actually contribute, you know, to your offensive line. And, you know, I think he's a... I think, yeah, he's a guy that, you know, you need senior leadership when it comes to guys being in the offensive line room, and I think he can provide that, especially with most of the starters from last year just as sophomores. So,
and yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a still relatively young offensive line. I think oldest is gonna be juniors, so
right.
having a fifth year senior come in, and I think he played tackle at Miami. He can shift to guard from what I've heard.
I think Morris said he could play all three positions if they need him to. I don't think, you know, between Brendel and Quesenberry, I think they'll be just fine at center, but I think he can play guard or tackle, which is kind of the position that Xavier Suafilo had last year. Not saying that he is the same caliber as Xavier Suafilo, but...
Yeah. But having him really allows... I mean, the depth in the offensive line is going to be pretty impressive next year. You're looking at probably having Caleb Beninock and Scott Quesenberry coming off the bench, likely, maybe? Possibly?
I don't know about that. Maybe. Yeah, I don't. There are some factors that still need to be kind of ironed out. But I think, you know, depending, Simon Goins, I don't know if he'll be ready to go. Moore didn't really talk about that, but you have Simon Goins, Beninock, Quesenberry, Redmond, Bunch, and you know, possibly a couple other guys. Maybe Poissy-Mwala gets a look. You know,
he
certainly showed a lot of length, and yeah. But the class is highlighted by guys like Adarius Pickett, a defensive back. Julio Wadud, also a defensive back, Matt Dickerson, and Zach Whitley, all of whom, you know, earned unanimous 4 stars. Dickerson was actually a guy that was committed to Notre Dame, so that's UCLA's second year in a row of kind of not really at the last second for Dickerson, but stealing a guy from Notre Dame. And I think Moore even said at the, you know, the big event, the party they had for signing day, the Pope in the Vatican keeps calling me, telling him to stop stealing my guys from Notre Dame. Like, and the crowd kind of went silent. They were like, oh, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, Mark was clearly tired from a long day spent on the phones and by a fax machine and looking at these electronic signatures. So I think he was kind of out of it by that point. But yeah, I think they're all guys that can possibly contribute early. Defensive back looks pretty solid after being a position where people were really, really worried last year. I mean, because you don't lose any of your starters. Fabian Moreau looks like arguably one of the best corners in the Pac-12. And, you know, Ish Adams, it will be probably fighting for a spot coming up here. And then Randall Goforth and Anthony Jefferson both look pretty solid for much of last year and even played corner when there was a need for a third corner on the field. So,
and then you have Johnny Johnson back in the mix. Tom Goodman another year. Priest Willis, see if he can figure stuff out with all these. I think they got a total of 4 defensive back recruits for freshmen. So they'll have a lot of depth again, a lot of options to play with. So
yeah, and even a guy like Denzel Fisher, who wasn't as highly rated, showed, you know,
he's
pretty
6'2".
Good strength at the line. Yeah, I mean,
he's quick.
He showed good arm strength, good leverage in some of those camps most recently. So. I think he's a guy that can contribute as well. But Whitley, who's a guy who flipped from Alabama, has earned a lot of praise early. I mean, we saw him up close and personal the other day. He's actually enrolled here at UCLA, training with Coach Sal Losi. And he looks the part of a starting college linebacker. And he's drawn comparisons to Miles Jack. And I think, you know, I mean, I haven't seen him play yet, but I think some of those have been warranted. I mean, he's certainly a physical force, and I think – if you're looking at possibly replacing two linebackers next year, he's a guy that'll probably get a look and maybe get some run. So,
yeah, and he's not the only four-star linebacker they got. They also got Kenny Young out of Louisiana.
Louisiana, yeah.
And he's, from what I've seen, is more of like a pass rushing kind of, like he just blitzes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a little less versatile than Whitley, but still a really highly talented recruit.
He's a future starter. I see that.
And
yeah.
he's the one guy they got on National Signing Day that they didn't know whether or not. Well,
yeah, he was the one
they
up in the air.
They kind of knew, like everyone from what I've heard, like everyone projected him to go there.
But so there were other teams in the mix. It wasn't like a done deal.
Yeah, he hadn't already committed. Everyone, all the other recruits used to they got had already committed. It wasn't no surprises. But
yeah, he was like a soft verbal. But I think and you bring up a good point is. They got just about everyone they expected to get. You know, you mentioned Kenny Young and then Nathan Starks eventually, who was cleared at the end of the day. And there was some mishap, but we don't really know what happened there. But no one really that was a reach. So I'm not sure that they did that last year. You know, Eddie Vanderduz signing on kind of later. That was really a different circumstance. Miles Jack and Kenny Clark, of course, didn't become the players they were until they came to UCLA. But they seemingly just missed on a couple of guys. And, you know, I'm talking about the guys like... Malachi Dupree, who's a teammate of Kenny Young's, actually, in high school, or Rashawn Evans, who is the makings of, you know, a really, really solid defensive player.
He looks like he's already a first-round pick.
He's one of the best high school tacklers.
Watching his videos, his speed off the line, off the snap, is just ridiculous. He's in the backfield immediately.
And then a guy like, of course, Adoree Jackson, who kind of... I think one of USC's like recruiting coordinators said he's more slippery than an open oil can, like, because he just kept like committing to all these different teams and wouldn't really commit to USC and didn't send his NLI until like the next or like till like late the night of National Signing Day. So
he had a really weird announcement too. He's like had a bag and started pulling like a hat out, then he pulled like a water bottle out. It's this is one of the things I'm gonna know.
It's really strange out. But Mora seemed to have a good perspective on them kind of losing out on guys, and he actually talked about that with some reporters on National Signing Day.
Or whether it's from a character standpoint. And so we have to set the bar high, and we're going to continue to set the bar high. We want to be the best in everything that we do, and we're not going to compromise, and we're not going to settle. So we went after some big fish. We went after some, you know. And when you turned on the TV today, a lot of those big announcements, boy, they were talking about UCLA, you know, and we didn't get them all, okay? But that's okay. All right, that's okay. We're going to get ourselves on the map. We're going to keep fighting for those guys. Like always, we're going to go back and reevaluate our strategy, find out what we did well, find out what we can improve on. But I really believe this, that if you're going to beat the best teams in the country, if you're going to be one of the best teams in the country, which is our goal, then you better be ready to compete with them on every single level, and that includes recruiting. So we're never going to shy away. Okay, we're never going to give in, all right? We're never going to go, hey, you know what? This is an SEC guy. We don't have a shot. If we got a shot, if there's a crack in the door, we're going to try to bust it down. And we were the bridesmaid. Heck, we might have even been the ring girl on a couple of players today. But we were in the wedding. We were in the church, okay? And that's our goal. And so I don't want UCLA fans to be disappointed that we didn't get all those guys. I want UCLA fans to be excited about the guys we did get. This is an excellent team. This team is growing up fast before your eyes. It's a young team, 6 seniors next year.
Let it be known, Jim Mora is not a bride. Was not a bride on National Signing Day. And it brings up a good question. How do you fix it? I think really the one obvious solution to that is win a Rose Bowl. You're showing you can turn the program around to a certain extent. Get to 9 wins, get to 10 wins, you know, get to a Pac-12 title game in the first year. Show that you can beat the Oregons, can beat the Stanfords, can compete with those teams on a consistent basis, and the guys will come. I mean, I think once you show you're a consistent winner and can build that kind of success, that's how you kind of get over that hump and get those guys that can really be blue chips and game breakers, you know, and potentially be 3-year guys for you.
Yeah. So even if they're not getting the 5-star recruits, the 4 stars they're getting might need to play. Outperform themselves. Like, I mean, they've had guys do that, but I mean, I think they're building their way towards the Rose Bowl. So they've clearly taken a step, a big step forward from where they were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So it's a different conversation now than it was then, but they're still getting closer.
Well, yeah, and you see with some of those teams that are winners, like what is it, Alabama with
was like it 6 5 stars?
Well, was it Dupree that committed there? Did he commit there?
He committed LSU.
He committed
Rashawn Evans.
Rashawn Evans, right.
Alabama.
So Rashawn Evans, like, Nick Saban just kind of shows up in the picture, not really at the last second, but kind of later than some of the other teams, and then all of a sudden he's committed to Alabama. So
he grew up in Auburn too.
Yeah.
He lived in the city of Auburn.
Right. I mean, I think he kind of wanted to stay in state, but like, it's almost easy for Alabama at this point because you really just all you have to see is, oh, well, you have, well, this many guys who got drafted, this many guys who are currently starting in the NFL.
And how many years have we gone to the national championship?
Yeah, three national titles in the last 5 years. So, I mean, it's an easy formula once you get to that point. But we will take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little basketball. This is Out of Bounds, Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. Welcome back to Out of Bounds Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. Kevin, I'm so glad we were able to play your favorite song during that break.
I don't know that song.
Hold On, We're Going Home by Drake. I know you're a big Drake fan, so I'm really glad we were able to get that, you know, on the loudspeakers and allow the fans to connect with you a little bit, because I know it's hard to get your musical taste out sometimes. So I'm glad.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Randy.
Everybody
so
knows
much.
you're a huge Drake fan.
I love Drake. Shout out to Aubrey. What's his actual last name?
Graham. Yeah, Aubrey Graham. So we're going to talk a little UCLA basketball now. We of course mentioned that UCLA won on Sunday night at the Galen Center, 83-73, to improve to 18-5 overall and 7-3 in Pac-12 play. But UCLA kind of looked bad in that first half, as we saw. They were, I think, trailing 41-36 or 41-35, and made Byron Wesley. I made this note. Made Byron Wesley look like a first round NBA draft pick.
Hard to do.
He had, I think, 18 points in the first half. And USC was seemingly scoring at will. They, I think, shot something like 59.3% in the first half and really made UCLA look silly. So
we were all sitting up there watching the game saying, yeah, they're going to lose this. It's over. Their season's done. But, I mean, it's Alfred talked after the game about how the energy, which was the problem against Oregon State, that still wasn't there. I mean, you'd think with an extra couple days of practice they'd be able to figure that out. Came out really, really flat in the game.
Flat's an understatement. I think they were 37.1% from the field in the first half. Zach LaVine was 1 of 5, Norm Powell was 2 of 6. Even Kyle Anderson had 3 turnovers, which didn't come at exactly the greatest time. So you're looking at exactly the hangover effect from the last games, and maybe it was just because they had a couple extra days to think about it. But you're right, Steve Alford did talk about that a little bit after the game.
Defend. I've said it for a long time that anytime you lose and you have a setback, it's not easy then getting back up. And I just thought the first half we had that kind of demeanor that kind of the second half against Oregon State. And the second half we came out with a much, much different demeanor. Thought the wares were tremendous. Norman had a great game for us. Kyle played the entire second half, did some really good things. And I thought Jordan got back to cutting, the ball move. But the biggest key was we got D stops in the first 12 minutes of the second half, and that enabled us to get control of the game.
Yeah, and Steve Alford is right there. They did get those defensive stops in the first part of the second half. I think USC just came out dead cold, and UCLA started to alter shots a little bit. I think the Trojans had, 3 field goal makes in the first 12:33.
Yeah, it was like a 25-6 run.
Yeah,
start.
I mean they really, it was like 28-7 or something like that. They really struggled in that first part, and I think that's kind of where UCLA took a hold of the game. The one part I don't necessarily agree with is the wares were tremendous. You know, they were okay. Combined 5 of 10 from the field, 18 points. You made a good point the other day that if they were one player, Travid Ware, who just was this combined, like, all the best traits of the wares
just
combined.
Take body parts from each one of them. The
faux hawk of David Ware, the on-the-line shooting ability of Travis Ware, you know, the lack of appendicitis from David Ware.
Travis,
you know,
Travis.
What's that?
Travis definitely had an appendix.
No, well, the lack of appendicitis from the lack of appendix. Okay, whatever. But you know, you get my point. If you combine all the traits, maybe they would, you know, that would be the better overall player. But
that player would average.
There are two guys that played two very similar games, but. I guess, you know, Alford mentioned that the one word he said at halftime was defend. As we know from what Jordan Adams said, he said more than one word. He said many words.
Loudly.
And loudly at Jordan Adams, Kyle Anderson, and Norman Powell. And it was very similar to the end of the Oregon State game, which, you know, words like immature, didn't care one iota,
satisfied.
You know, just all those kinds of words that you would hear after a loss to Oregon State that protruded into the media room of the Gill Coliseum. But as Jordan Adams said, Steve Alford was not happy at halftime.
Thanks, Mike. Jordan, what happened at halftime in the locker room in terms of you guys making a chance to be a down 10?
First, I can say that we got chewed out. That's the first thing from the first time we walked in the locker room. We got chewed out. We don't get chewed out much, but we felt it, and we came out the second half with a different mindset.
How about for yourself, 0-9 last time against Oregon State? How about for you coming to this game?
You know, I put that behind me. As soon as that game was over, I just wanted to focus on this game and come out confident and shoot the ball with confidence.
Yeah, thank you to Neo for the background accompanying music on that one. It's pretty loud at the end of that game, especially between...
I was thinking you're talking about The Matrix. Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Okay,
I saw like 20 minutes of one Matrix movie and then I stopped. It's just not good. But I think the key thing you take away from these games is that UCLA is kind of relying really more heavily on its starters. You saw Kyle Anderson played 38 minutes, David Ware played 26, Travis Ware played 29. Jordan Adams had 33, Norm Powell had 30, and then Zach LaVine, who had been, you know, close to that 20-minute mark, was down to 17, Bryce Alford's down to 16, and I think had 4 points, no field goals, and Tony Parker played 11 minutes, no points, no field goals. So
bench wasn't quite there.
No. I think if you look at what this team is really going to need down the stretch, it's, you know, it's the starters. It's Norman Powell coming out in the second half like a house on fire and scoring every which way, making shots beyond the arc. I think he came into the game averaging, 18%?
I think something like that.
Per game.
From
beyond the arc. And he was 2-4. He made a couple really, you know, long twos. And I think that really kind of helped break up the momentum that USC had.
Yeah, when Norman gets going, I feel like that's something that could really help them, just getting going early. Because once he gets going, he kind of feels like he builds up a lot of momentum for himself. He'll get steals and go and have breakaway dunks. He'll just disrupt things a lot. And he's a player I feel like they sub him out too quickly sometimes. Maybe just Alford kind of gets enamored with his rotation, where Powell doesn't quite have a chance to get in a groove. But when he does get going, he can be a really valuable weapon for them.
When I was looking, like, when has he had a down game? Not really recently. I mean,
he's been okay or really good.
Yeah, he's exactly. In the Oregon State game, he was okay. He only had 8 points, but he only played like something like 29 minutes, and he only took 5 shots. I mean, so it almost seems to me like you need to get him involved.
He's one of their few players that has a lot of success when he drives to the rim. Jordan Adams has kind of been struggling a bit, so is Zach LaVine. And Norman, mm-hmm. really, he has the power to be able to actually do stuff when he gets in there.
But you mentioned Jordan Adams, and I think it's important to point out that he did have a much better game in this one. He was 5 of 11, certainly better than 0-9 from the field.
A bit.
And, you know, it was 3-4 from 3-point. It seems like he kind of found whatever he was missing against Oregon State and really didn't seem timid to shoot the ball like he did kind of at the end of the Oregon State game. So it seems like he's kind of finding his rhythm again. I don't know. What was your impression of that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of it is just hitting. Did he hit his first shot? I feel like he did. I think that's a big thing for him, kind of just getting the confidence going early. And I think really that's for him. He's kind of been relegated recently to like a spot up 3-point shooter or just like getting put back points in the paint. But Alfred, I think, was talking about how he's really starting to get better at coming around the screens and working off that and moving without the ball. And just having him be a bigger part of the offense, I think it's important. So it's not all the effort and all the responsibility on Kyle Anderson's shoulders.
Yeah. But I wrote down, what does this win prove to us? And I don't think it really proves anything. USC is a team that is, for all intents and purposes, just done for the year. They're 1-9 in conference play, 10-13 overall.
They can still come back.
I'm glad you have that much faith in Andy Enfield, but I think this team's finished. They can put a fork in them. But, you know, as we look ahead to this series against Colorado and Utah, you know, you saw the performance that Xavier Johnson had against a team like Washington this weekend. I think he had 27 points, and that's a guy that UCLA completely shut down. I think he was maybe struggling through some injury stuff. But Tad Boyle said after that game, and he was pretty confident when he said it, don't count this team out. And they're, wouldn't you know it, right in the hunt for the Pac-12. And,
yeah,
you know, UCLA kind of shot itself in the foot with that loss to Oregon State, and there are a bunch of teams that are biting at their heels ready to take them over. So, you know, the path isn't that clear coming out after this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things are going to be tough. UCLA really has to do what they've been saying to do, which is put the whole 40 minutes together, and they have the talent, but they just got to put it together.
Any other sports to watch?
Baseball starts Friday.
Okay. All right. Who against?
Against, I want to say, Portland.
Okay.
Also, news on that front is starting right fielder Eric Filia will be out for the year.
I heard about that.
Kind of came out today.
And then Kevin Williams coming back in March?
Something like that. And Kevin Kramer was going to be switching to shortstop, but currently is a shoulder injury. He's going to be playing DH to start.
All right. I think that's it on the sports note. Just a special note, we'll say, like to say congratulations and best of luck to Michael Sam, a defensive lineman. He was an All-American defensive lineman, so certainly deserves that opportunity. We'll see if it happens. Best of luck to him, though.
Yeah.
All right, that's all for us from Out of Bounds at Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLAradio.com. We'll see you next week.